Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Hi, how are you listening to the show?
Oh, on Apple Podcasts?
Oh, why don't you take a second and follow the Guys We Fuck podcast if you're not already doing it.
Click that plus sign, baby.
Yeah, it's in the upper right-hand corner if you're looking at the Guys We Fucked podcast on the Apple Podcasts app. And then also, of course, watch our comedy special,
Our Special Day.
It's on YouTube. It's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. Also, give that a subscribe. Leave a comment. Again, all free stuff. And it makes such a world of difference to us. We appreciate it, mm-hmm. including following us on social media. Christina is at
Christina Hutch.
And then I am at Philanthropy Gal, especially Instagram. We post a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are all great things you can do. And if you want to email us with any problems you may have, you can send that email on over to sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. All right. First subject line is my medical condition, endometriosis, causes me to be on my period 24/7 and is ruining my self-worth and sex life.
Oh, girl.
Jesus. Hi, Corinne and Christina. I've been sitting on this email for quite a while, wondering when I'll get the courage to send. Today is the day, I guess. I'm going to jump right in to keep this as short as possible, but here is a little backstory. When I was 13 years old, I was diagnosed with ovarian cysts after having my first period, which surprisingly came and never stopped.
Damn.
To our surprise, the doctor at the time put me on hormonal birth control to regulate the bleeding and give me some sort of relief, which it did. Not only did it stop the bleeding, but it stopped my period altogether. And for the next 10 years, I went along as if nothing was wrong.
Nice.
So you didn't have a period for 10 years and
nice.
Only have a period?
Oh.
Damn. Fast forward and I am a 23-year-old in a relationship with my partner and wanting to get off birth control. Not to get pregnant, but I have curiosity as to what would happen. After being dependent on birth control for over a decade and dealing with migraines and other symptoms, I felt like it was time to get off the pill and let my body work itself out. I was completely devastated when I stopped the pill, and after a few months of continuous bleeding, I realized this problem had never gone away and that the birth control was just covering up over the years. Did your medical professional not talk to you about this at all? I spent the next couple of years going from doctor to doctor and specialist to specialist only to find out that my condition is chronic and there is no cure.
What?
I spent thousands of dollars getting testing that was never covered by my insurance, I might add, and finally was diagnosed with endometriosis, a painful condition in which tissue similar to the tissue that normally lines the inside of your uterus grows outside your uterus. In my state of pure devastation, my family offered help by taking me to one of the best endometriosis specialists in the country. While he was a great source of information, I left the appointment in tears after being told that while we could attempt another surgery or try different birth control pills, there was no way to ensure the bleeding would stop. This all leads me here, now 27 years old with a constant period.
Oh,
and when I say constant, I mean never ending.
Oh my God.
Sometimes my period will fluctuate, but there is never a time where I don't have a tampon in or have to wear a pad. It has become a part of my identity and way of life. I carry multiple pairs of pants around in my car just in case I bleed through my outfit.
Poor girl.
Even though I am suffering physically, the mental strain has been the toughest on me and my now partner. I feel worthless, less of a woman. Well, I would say you're the most like a woman.
True. Technically, yeah.
This is something that I have explored in therapy and learned that many other women with medical problems such as mine battle every day. Now, here is my question. How do I overcome this? Mm-hmm. How do I overcome the physical aspect of bleeding 24/7 in my relationship sexually? And how do I overcome the feeling of being less of a woman because of this condition? I will say that my partner is very supportive, even though there are months where I don't want him to touch me. I wish I could say I was one of those people that was really into period sex, but I am not. When I am bleeding, I feel like my body is malfunctioning and I am in no mood to be sexy or intimate. The mental battle is slowly drowning me and I'm afraid I will take my partner down with me. Since my diagnosis, I am literally mourning the body that I wish I had. I find myself breaking down into tears and waking on the bathroom floor hours later to realize I cried myself to sleep there. My mother, who I am very close with, has encouraged me that this pain is temporary and that things will get better. But I don't feel the same. And this condition is chronic. It isn't going anywhere. Is there a way for my condition and my womanhood to coexist? Thank you so much for taking the time to read this. And I hope you two keep inspiring others for as long as you can. Okay. The missing link in here is I understand why you went off birth control. What I don't understand is why you didn't go back on.
Right.
Because what's happening to your body
that
now.
That would stop the bleeding.
Yeah. Your physical body and your mind right now is, I think we can both agree, is much worse than a couple migraines.
Yeah.
I am also on the birth control pill. I also get migraines. Migraines are genetic in my family. But yes, the birth control pill does exacerbate it. In my opinion, and this is just my life, is it's a small price to pay for, number one, the safety and security of being on a birth control pill and being sexually active. And then also, you know, all this other stuff. And I don't have endometriosis. Endometriosis. A lot of people have endometriosis, and I haven't really heard, we've gotten a lot of letters. I haven't heard someone who was bleeding constantly. It also seems like if the birth control will stop the bleeding, like, it just doesn't feel like it could possibly be healthy for you to be bleeding all that time. I would think that it's also affecting your iron levels with all that blood loss, which is making you, I'm sure, feel weak and feel all this emotional turmoil that you're feeling. I'm also confused as to why no medical professional
trying to help
could give you a better answer.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned in here you could try this surgery. Listen, surgery is surgery. There's always a risk. I do know lots of people who have tried like an experimental surgery and it's gone well. So that is an option. Obviously, it's a big choice to make and only a choice that you can make for yourself. Maybe you could read some more about it, talk to some people about it. But there was also the mention of trying a different birth control pill. So I guess like, telling me like you're so unhappy with the other one. Basically, like, as long, you know, any birth control, you can always switch birth control pills. I've switched it multiple times during my life. But I would really, really consider doing that because it just doesn't seem, I know there's a lot of like negative talk, especially with the abortion conversation that we're having right now about the birth control pill. You know, I'm a huge advocate for that.
But it really helped you.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for the birth control pill. And I think that as much as people haven't been listened to when they were having mental problems from it, that obviously is true and accurate. I also think it's getting maybe a little bit of a worse reputation than it needs and has changed my life positively in many ways. And I also have, as I talked about on this show, I even gave myself a break from it to do exactly what you're doing, just to see, to reset my body for months. And honestly, I saw no change. So I
also
went right back on it.
It doesn't feel like some women from the birth control pill, and I am one of them, have awful mental side effects, but a lot of them don't. It doesn't seem like you had terrible mental side effects from the birth control pill. So I think you're immune to the mental downfall of it. Like, it doesn't seem like it affects you that way, which is great.
Also, if you're a meat eater with the migraines, like, I'm not a meat eater. So, but when I was eating red meat once a week, greatly, and that was doctor recommended, greatly decreased my level of migraines. And again, that's like, I made a choice for myself. I wanted to not eat animals more than I cared about the migraines. But if you already eat animals, then who the fuck cares? Just eat red meat once a week. That was super, super helpful. Obviously, like, I know you don't want to become, a slave to Excedrin migraine, but Excedrin migraine, literally anyone who gets migraines it's
handy.
The only thing that you can do beyond prescription, that prescription stuff that Khloe Kardashian tries to sell us, and maybe that's good, I don't know. You can also do like mint oil. I understand the pain of migraines, but those you should be able to control, and this bleeding, it seems like birth control is the only thing that will help it. This just literally seems like it's ruining your life.
Girl, and look, you, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. Okay, so you're in this kind of swamp with really feeling down on yourself, which is understandable, but you got it. The brave woman in you needs to pick yourself up and be in charge while you get yourself either back on the pill or to explore another option, because this is no way for you to live. So you need to be your own best advocate here, and really put as much energy as you can muster into finding a solution that works for you so you can live your fucking life.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, just like you're unfortunately, with the way our medical system is set up, you're going to need to do a lot of your own research.
Yeah.
And so I think like endometriosis, like I said, very common. Yours is certainly an extreme case. But like, look online, find a group of women experiencing that. And maybe you guys can trade things that have worked for each other. Because I think like support with other people going through this would be very helpful for you, not only in medical recommendations, since your medical professionals seem to be failing you a little bit, mm-hmm. but also just with like mental support. But I would really, 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 really encourage you to go back on the birth control pill. I mean, for a lot of reasons right now.
Uh-huh.
Again, I think it just has getting a bit of a bad rap right now, and I don't think it's completely justified.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up, and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love, and we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF. for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Come see us live, guys. Well, come hear us on other platforms, rather. I host a solo podcast called The Voices in Our Heads, which you can only listen to on patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. And you can also hear from me in a more intimate way on that Patreon. And I do group therapy a couple times a month. Therapy in quotes, Chad, because I'm not a licensed practitioner. But we just go around and talk about stuff and share resources. And it's a lot of people that's been through shit and just want to get stuff off their chest. It's really enjoyable. Patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson.
And then Without a Country is my news podcast. We roast the news. We experience news. We live the news. The last episode we did, Shane was out of town, was an all abortion episode. It's called Without an Abortion. I think one of the most important podcast episodes I've ever done. So many people called in with their firsthand abortion stories. And that's on YouTube right now. Again, on the Without a Country channel. You can also listen to it on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on any of the places that you listen to podcasts. But that is an episode I'm really proud of. And I thanks everyone who called in. We also raised a lot of money for the Kentucky Health Justice Network. Kentucky, one of those states that you'll see on many lists where, you know, abortion just moments away from being illegal. A fun place. And then rate and review and follow us. This is a new thing. We just had a little meeting, guys. Follow us.
Gotta follow.
On Apple Podcasts.
Click the plus sign.
Yes.
Search for Guys We Fucked on Apple Podcasts. Click that plus sign.
It's
baby.
In the upper right-hand corner. So, you know, that these are the things that help us keep us visible, keep people discovering us. And then, of course, watch our special day and all the other amazing free content we have on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. And then, of course, our beloved TikTok, which is at guyswefucked without the U in fucked. There's so many clips there from both our stand-up special and the show. It's a treasure trove.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. You know this is a treasure trove?
This kiss.
Uh-huh. You did it. Guys, he's a New York City stand-up comedian who is making a second appearance on the show. He released independently his produced comedy special called Life Begins on YouTube. He's also the co-host of Here's the Scenario podcast and host of Heads Up with Mike and Mike Takes Edibles. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show,
Mike Cannon.
Wake up now, first day of the rest of your life.
I thought that I'd feel bad.
Oh my God, you guys, we're here with Mike Cannon.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Wearing
Michael.
His wife's merch, just really
what a cut.
Letting us know what a stand up guy.
Whoa. Yeah, your wife is such a good florist.
She's incredible.
Oh my God, I love her flower design.
That, and you know how I approach the situation. I'm like, hello, powerful women. I'm bending the knee. I'm letting you guys know I'm coming in here.
Appreciate
gifts
it.
Gifts in hand.
Yeah. So much has changed since we last spoke on the podcast.
That's right. You guys are millionaires.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Hell yeah. Suck my clit, haters. But also, you had a baby.
I did.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, my wife did most of the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I was involved.
For sure.
Listen, a lot of men and women would still rather be married and have a kid than be millionaires.
I don't know if that's true.
I do. If you look at our comments, like, people are not impressed.
No?
Really?
Some people are impressed. Aww, but
fuck you.
I think a lot of people still think deep down that we would prefer to be married and have kids than be millionaires.
Yeah.
And I gotta say,
hell no, bitch.
Not
no.
accurate.
That's a 100% projection of themselves onto you in
Which
a way to
happens.
Justify their own life choices.
Happens a lot, especially to Corinne, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you have like a personality like mine, people just like really want to fight it. And now I just delete comments, and it's so
fun.
I don't even bother.
You remove them as a follower.
Yeah.
Oh my like, God. Aw. What would Elon Musk think?
Yeah. Yeah. People are just like, I'm going to unfollow you. And then I check to see if they did. And then when they don't, I go, I'm going to remove you now.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. What an act of currency on their part. It's almost like they're acting like they're removing change from your cup.
Yeah.
Being like, well, now you don't get lunch.
Like, you're just.
They're putting their hand with tape.
Hungry to feel powerful at any cost.
That's right.
Pathetic.
That's right.
So how has having a kid changed your life?
It's the best. Like when I was on this before, I mean, I was a big booze guy, big party guy. That was more or less what defined me.
And are you still not drinking at all?
I'm not drinking. I'm not sober.
Right.
Like, that's not, I don't
still
pretend
do the
to
weed.
Be. I smoke weed and I do mushrooms because I'm a good dad.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing actually helps me in terms of reset my perspective, also limits my anxiety.
When you have dad stuff, right? Your dad issues and stuff.
Yeah,
mushrooms
yeah.
so helpful for
yeah.
that shit.
And I'm also not like on Jupiter playing cars with my son being
right.
like, yeah, dude,
go
I get
bike
it.
Ride.
Yeah, it's never like that. But it's one of those things where it completely has, the way I say it, it's a 5-lane superhighway of unwanted thoughts, and then weed kind of bottlenecks the traffic into one lane.
Okay.
So it doesn't make things more efficient or fast, but it certainly makes it a bit more manageable.
Uh-huh. It makes me like giddy like a kid, and I smoke every day, every time.
Still,
it makes
I'm jealous.
It's
That's
really
great.
Helpful because it's like anti-anxiety medication for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only like doing it at night because I act like a fucking fool during the day. Like, smoke. I don't know why it affects me way more.
That's the weird thing about me is because I don't smoke during the day anymore. I used to be an all day smoker. The only time I smoke during the day is during work days. So like when I'm working,
right.
that's when I'm high all day. Otherwise,
like writing a project or
writing or podcasting or filming or stuff like that.
Nice.
So much of my shit has been centralized around marijuana, and not even like in a Doug Benson way where he's packaged himself like that. I just mean in terms of just passively smoking pot while doing these things.
Right.
Then that's how I work.
Doug Benson is so toasted. I saw him at a comedy festival once. I'm like, damn, dude, you smoke every day and the weed affects you still. Like,
he lives up to the billing.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
Is he in a relationship?
With marijuana.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, because I wonder sometimes, like, because if you're that high all the time, like, how are you even dating someone?
I think some women also like getting high all the time.
Yeah.
It just depends. I mean, me personally, like, I know the big thing with like weed is that it could lower your libido and guys might be a little less motivated.
It makes me horny.
Samesies.
Makes me horny.
As I get motivated, I'm like fucking, I put on a miner's helmet and I'm just spreading things out and checking out new areas. You know, I'm like,
let's
I'm
go
all
on Zillow and see what the price per square foot is in my zip code.
Yeah, what's that to the back and to the left?
That's really funny. And hanging out with a kid is kind of like being stoned. Like, kids are like high. Like,
He's on mushrooms perpetually because right. he's just discovering everything yeah. for the first time. Like, I've talked about it on stage, but it's a psychedelic experience to watch your son experience life or your child, because mm-hmm. I'm kind of watching me watch life for the first time.
Sure.
And then it throws you into this whole time as a flat circle abstract plot. Uh-huh. And you're just, I don't know, I'm easily taken off into flights of fancy and, and thoughts
say.
Like that. But,
yeah.
but it is, you know, I'm taking him to the aquarium and he's like, fucking penguins, and I'm like, fucking penguins,
man,
dude.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Were you obviously were there during the birth. Mm-hmm. Were you on by Nicole's head or by her?
So we
exit?
Were. We went in with a birth plan, the whole thing. We had a doula and who was very useful and very very helpful in terms of reducing stress.
Oh,
and
nice.
We were lucky enough to do it pre-pandemic. So my sister, she had to give birth April 2020, and she obviously, with everything going on with the hospitals, and her husband wasn't even allowed in to the delivery room.
Oh
she
my God,
actually
her husband wasn't allowed
she
in?
Tried to give birth at home, labored for like I think 30 hours.
Shit.
Went through the whole process, almost got the baby out, and then was so exhausted she just physically couldn't do it.
Right.
She had to get rushed to the hospital and basically had to relive the labor process twice. Got the baby out, everything's totally fine, she's okay, but like,
yeah,
that made me truly count my lucky stars for how we went through it pre-pandemic. We're
yeah.
like, Nicole's family was there, her mother, yeah. everybody was coming by. There was limited people allowed in the room, but they're like delivering ice chips, sandwiches, coffee, you yeah. name it, you know, all that stuff. So we were very grateful, but my son was flipped sunny mm-hmm. side up.
Is that, so what is that called? Not bridge. What
breached.
Breached.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
So he was head first.
Yeah, because I was like, isn't breech feet first?
I think that might be right. Yeah.
Ouch.
So I think he was still like head
toe
down.
Poking out. Oh man, can you imagine a little foot coming out of your pussy?
You're just like grabbing.
Oh boy,
out
get
of
in,
the...
get back in.
Looks like a reverse pulling Japanese porno.
Yeah, pulling a Stretch Armstrong out of your vagina. Oh God.
So he was breeched. Huge also, and my wife is petite, so yeah. it wasn't working naturally, so we, you know, got the Pitocin, all that shit to start, you know,
inducing.
Getting things cooking, and that couldn't happen, so she ended up having to get a C-section.
Whoa.
Which still to this day is, and I didn't even get cut open, it's the most intense experience of my life.
Wow. How
and
so?
I just watched it because
they
know,
do slice, and they have to slice through layers of stuff to get that kid.
Yes. And as a man, so this is my thought process during it, because again, I'm not a woman. I have no idea what that's like. After watching it, thank God. Like, is that,
I
came out of there saying, and this might be feel like I'm pandering, but I'm truly not, is I left that experience being like, I don't know how we've existed this long as an animal and have left being like, those people deserve less rights. Like,
I know.
Like, those are the weak
yep,
people.
Yep,
because
yep.
what I watched my wife go through and endure and ascend through was like, I mean, one of the most heroic things I've ever watched in my life. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. So she...
And did they take your organs out?
Yeah.
And they put them on her stomach or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gets shot up with all like all the drugs and stuff like that. And they're like, by the way, like there might be a little chattering or a little, you know, with her teeth.
Oh,
and like,
I see.
It's all completely normal. And I go, finally, they allow me in and I walk in. It's so intense. There's all these doctors. There's like tarps pulled up everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody's like speaking like it's House. So I, you know, I'm so dumb that everything just seems life or death. Like, yeah. It's just terrifying.
Yeah.
And I get behind the curtain of my wife and she is having full blown convulsions, like shivering to the point where I was like,
yeah, you don't want to see even like, see that.
Guys, is this okay? Guys? Yeah, just kind of looking around and everybody was like, this is totally normal. So I'm looking at her terrified with her eyes wide open, just being like, is this okay? Is this going to be okay?
Right.
And I have to put on
and
the
best.
And
you have to pretend it is.
Acting because, performance yeah, of my life being yeah. like, yeah, you know, this is good. This is great. We're so excited. We're going to meet our son. Like, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Good coach.
So we had, I think we had like an 11 or 12 hour music playlist for the entire thing. And we're trying to find the right song, whatever. Out of nowhere, Kanye's Family Business comes on. I absolutely love that song. That's the beginning of the surgery. It's like, it's more violent than I thought it was going to be because she's like, it's almost like Ace Ventura being eaten by the shark and dragged to different areas of tank. Because her body is like jostling.
Wait, whoa.
Back and
because
forth.
The doctors are sawing her
They're
open.
They're sawing her open like shit. She's a fucking magic trick.
Right.
And I'm just like, ha. Like yeah. She's trying to
You're
remain.
Like looking over like, it's going great.
Yeah,
don't
we
look.
We are super good. And, you know, she's chattering, whatever. And finally.
So, like, what conscious state is she in, though?
She's awake. She's like us.
So, they're just numbing the, they just numb the areas?
They just numb, yeah, everything.
And then,
is just,
do they put a sheet so she can't see?
We can't see,
so
yeah.
So, she can right. only see, like, her neck. Like, the sheet's right here.
Because I'm like, you would pass out
yeah.
if you saw that.
Yeah, it's, like, yeah. here and then pulled kind of over. And it's a blue tarp. It looks very construction.
Yeah. Yeah. Like right. Walter White making some fucking meth yeah, in a goddamn trailer.
It almost doesn't
trailer.
Look professional.
Can she speak?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking and I'm like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going great. This is amazing. We're about to meet our son. Holy shit. And then
just scoop your organs real quick, put them on your tits real quick. Don't worry about it.
So that comes.
Well, because your organs are already fucked up because the baby. They're already up here.
All yeah. over the map.
They're yeah. up here the whole time.
They're a Picasso. Yeah. yeah. So. Hey Jude comes on, the Beatles song. Aww. And like, as the na, 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 they like go, your son's here, boom, pull the curtain. They're holding him in the lights. Whoever does the lighting for Mount Sinai West deserves a fucking Tony or something. It is
cinematic.
Dude, like, nah, Zabenya, like, boom, light on this kid. He's
backlit
covered
source.
In blood, cum, and God knows what else.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost a little disgusting. Like, I'm yeah. like, oh my God, he's beautiful, gross.
It's like an alien.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit. So they pull the thing back up. They take him over to like get cleaned up, do his vitals, all that stuff. And they're like, all right, you can go meet your son. And I was like, well, I've known her longer.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of want to make sure that uh-huh. she's not going to die because
yeah.
I can't do this without
and
her.
And if I were her, I'd be like, you go nowhere, Michael.
Well, she told me, funny enough, she's like, get the fuck out of here. She's
oh,
like,
okay.
she's
All
like
right.
I'm fine, pussy, which again gives you insight into like how more fragile I was in this situation. So speaking of splaying out organs all over the place, they have a very intentionally taped off line for you to go find your baby after, and they're like, do not look past this line.
Oh.
They're like, it's just bad for you, man.
Yeah.
they wouldn't say exactly why. They're like, it's just no good.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's ruined relationships. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I like overcorrected. Uh-oh. And I turned this way, and in like a metal salad bowl was the biggest placenta I've ever seen.
Whoa. Like, what does a placenta look like when the baby's not in it?
Like Krang from Ninja Turtles, like
Whoa.
That, like that little floating brain
yeah.
that was like, like that.
So it's like a jellyfish, like a giant ass jellyfish,
like a bag of blood. It was
wow.
so awful and disgusting
wow.
that we ended up making pills out of it later.
Hell yeah,
nice.
That was all the doula, and the doula threw it on like a piece of paper and made a weird painting on it, and
Whoa.
We'll definitely never hang that up.
That's a little odd, but okay. Yeah, yeah.
With like a crispy foreskin of his too. It's fucking bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The shit they send you home with is like truly straight out of Buffalo Bill.
Wow.
But yeah, and then I saw that was super gross, and then I see my son and I'm out of my body. Like, I expected a full orchestra and brass band to play from behind me, like rainbow lights and almost like a fish song like coming, like just something like magical and in that moment. And I was like existing 14 inches outside of my body. So not fully in the heavens, not fully disconnected, but certainly not fully in my body. And I was just kind of like, whoa. Like,
hey, more, yeah, bro.
Just whoa.
You good? Or?
And I was so grossed out by his nails. Like, because they, you know, he's never gotten a, he can't get a mani-pedi in the, in the womb. And they're just covered in gook. He looked like a dinosaur a little bit with, like, how gross they were. But, and I'm like, can somebody wash him off so I can love him?
Yeah, right.
And then, that was super late at night. So once they put direct skin-to-skin contact with him, with my wife, he latched. That's what was great about having the doula is she was there to immediately coach and, like, get things kind of cooking. And then they just sent me the fuck home. Oh. So I couldn't even stay the night.
Really?
Because she was sharing a room with somebody else, and spouses aren't allowed to share the or to spend the night in that situation. So I went back to Brooklyn, all the way back to Crown Heights, promptly left 100% of our luggage in the Uber. Like, all of the stuff that I brought down there.
You know the shit going on in your head.
Yeah. And then I went back the next day, and her family is so Italian that they knew the head of, like, the unit in Mount Sinai West. So they just booted the bitch out of there that had a baby 6 minutes prior. And I'm sure she had a tough time healing, but thanks for the room.
Funny because also Italians, I didn't know, were big in hospitals. It's usually like Jews or Russian or Asian. Yeah. I never heard like Italians.
It was like
big
Sophia Angelini. Running the baby unit.
Is there a moment when you're home, like when Nicole's back home and your son is home and you're home and you're like, now what do we do? Just wait, watch it grow?
I threw up the minute I got home. Like, I'm an emotional, sensitive dude. Like this, especially with father issues. And I went into this with my eyes wide the fuck open and with like real plans on how I wanted this to go and how I planned to be a father and like the you know, strategy.
Sure. What was your strategy?
Strategy is to be as open and communicative and loving and supportive as humanly possible, which doesn't sound original.
No, but it's very important.
Put in practice, especially by Irish Catholics, is very difficult because I grew up in a repressed household where especially emotional communication was non-existent unless it was rage and sexual communication for sure, which is probably why I'm a bit of a creep, you know, a isolated creep. I'm not out there sniffing subway seats or whatever, but, you know, and all that shit that kind of like that goes along with it. Me talking like this on podcasts, on stage, all that stuff. It is in direct response to how I grew up.
Is a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I have never seen a population so mutilated than Irish Catholics. Just the soul. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're such a, and this is, again, speaking in generality, so it can't possibly be entirely true, but we're a very, like, emotional people.
Yeah.
We're a very sensitive people. We're very loving people, but we've been basically instinctually beaten down to hide that shit and be as kind of like, no, this is tough. This is the Irish way. We don't show emotion. We get our shit done. We take care of our families. We never tell our sons we love them.
Yep.
And then we continue on, you know, down the line.
Yeah, it's almost like, what's the point of having a family if you're not going to tell them that you love them?
Yeah,
it's a little weird.
So I could do to my son what my dad did to me.
It's all farm worker bee shit.
Right. Yeah, because I'm like, totally, and I understand like the working, but like in modern society, it doesn't make sense because you don't have a farm.
Well, if there's anything that I've learned from being a dad, it's that modern society almost can act as a negative influence to how you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you almost want to go against the grain. You almost don't even consider the world very much because your society becomes so much smaller.
Oh, sure.
You know, so all of that stuff almost becomes reactionary and it's easy to fall back into pattern as opposed to like maintain your strong perspective on like, okay, this is how I want to do stuff.
Yeah, any parents I know care a lot less about like the world in ways both good and bad once they have children.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like they're like activism. No thanks. I really see that.
I'd like to petition for a nap.
Yeah. Is that it? It's like you would just murder someone who tried to cross you or hurt your child, basically.
I think it's definitely done some of that to me, not in terms of like just broadly activism. It does make me get into the minutiae of like arguing language or like PC or whatever. Like that conversation to me is just so not interesting.
Right.
I'm going to continue to like push with the comedy that I want to do. And if you like it, great. If you have a problem with it, I assume you'll either give up or write something that will help me get more popular.
Yeah.
So 100%. That stuff truly doesn't even... It doesn't register to me.
So there really does seem to be like a reprioritization that happens when you have a kid that seems like almost freeing in a way. Because my brother, I have a vast amount of issues with my mom. And my brother dropped it and stopped really giving a shit the second he had a kid. I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah. And so it's funny. My dad and I had another falling out right before I had a son. There was just some familial drama. He obviously was feeling whatever, maybe left out of the situation of the process and didn't know.
Is he narcissistic or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he had his borderline as well, but it's undiagnosed. And okay.
Allegedly, he's allegedly feels like a victim a lot.
That's all it is. And it's all about him. And he has his own trauma, which I've since re-empathized with now having a son who kind of has his face.
That would fuck me up.
Watching my baby boy cry as a baby with my father's face makes me think of my father as a baby.
Yeah.
And all of the things that happened to him that helped calcify who he truly is as a human being.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, that's what I mean by psychedelic. It fucks you up, man, where you really have to sit with that if you want to. Mm-hmm. There's people that see that and are like, I'll never think of that again.
Sure.
And then just continue on their own individual path. But I'm in this space where I really want to grow and I want to consider everything. And I really like that helped me repair my relationship with my dad where it's like, hey man, you're now, I'm not hung up on that shit. I think any of the stuff that I had with him was when I was the son.
Yeah.
I was the son and I was the boy and you were my father and you were the authority figure. And that's what our dynamic is. Now I'm the motherfucking father.
Right.
You can't get to my son unless it's through me.
Oh, shit.
So I am now the authoritative figurehead of the family where it's like, you're the grandfather. Any of that shit is irrelevant. I'm now the dude. So that has helped me.
And you have
me.
More testosterone now because he's getting out of his estrogen. Body.
Yeah, although if he's like any other white guy in his 60s, he's taking some supplement that at 1 a.m. and feeling
News.
Virile again.
Yeah. Go to mow the lawn.
Yeah, he ends up punching somebody in the at the bus stop. He's like, I have no idea why.
Do you see eye to eye with your dad now? Or are you just able to tolerate it without getting triggered?
It's that. Okay. So I don't even care if we see eye to eye. Like
awesome.
I'm not even
I have a kid.
I'm not even like considering really his perspective.
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff that used to bother me. Like in terms of like now his only involvement and it's on a voluntary basis, it's like you're here as long as you fulfill your end of the bargain. So if you start seeping any of that poison into my well, then you're fucking out. Instantly out.
Yeah.
That was my...
Wow, so your boundary setting was just seamless, basically, since you had a kid.
Well, and now you have something to hold over his head, which is what everyone needs.
Honestly, you need clout. You need pull.
Yeah. Before it was just, you can't come to my shows.
What a threat.
He did anyway. Showed up to my special tapings.
Too, and like, oh, he came to your special taping.
Yeah, we had... The first one, Life Begins. We hadn't talked for like almost 2 years.
Jesus Christ.
And the first person I saw when I walked into the showroom, he's like, what's up, dude? And I'm like, motherfucker, you're lucky I took a beta blocker.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, how the fuck? My mom showed up to my apartment after I explicitly said, don't show up to my apartment. And she showed up to my apartment. I screamed. If someone would have seen me in that moment, they would have been like, I'm going to take you to the ER. Are you okay? Like I acted like a child, but a child like that was like about to be murdered.
Yeah.
That
moment was and Gray, I'd just taken a beta blocker. So whether or not that even kicked in at the time is almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
But that. So as an athlete, when I got mad, I never got better. You hear some of these guys that are like, hey, man, all that
anger
Kobe
makes you weaker.
Or LeBron or whatever. They're like, all that guy did was, call me soft. And then I just scored 40 on him. That would always emotionally derail me because I thought other people saw me how I see me. So they saw the truth.
You're speaking my language.
Wait, can you say that again?
So I've constantly, even though I was good at basketball, good at soccer, good at sports my entire life. There was still part of me that was insecure about that. And I would routinely then...
Like an imposter syndrome?
Yeah, I'd react defensively. I don't fucking suck. You suck. And then I'd press it and play poorly.
I just wanted to know if you wanted to get a coffee. And you're like, well, I do.
Yeah, just taking... just take my mental Taking state is very important for how I also perform physically.
Right.
So both in sports and in comedy, it never benefited me to get mad in sports because it constantly took me out of my game.
Yes.
In comedy, it's kind of the exact opposite, where I've gotten angry preset and then it's resulted in the best show of my entire life.
Uh-huh.
So with my words, there's some focus that hardens mm-hmm. and then gets to a point where it's actually optimal when I have anger. And then when I have to perform physically, it's the exact opposite.
So your special, you love how your special turned
yeah,
out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it was all that show. It right. was all the first show.
Wow.
Before I saw my dad it. And I was like, motherfucker, I'm wow. not only going to rip this, but then the parts that are really harsh about him, I was saying them a bit harsher.
Right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, and when uh-huh. you nail the first one, it's just like you put all your energy into that and then you just like relax for the second one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Doesn't matter.
So, but I mean, then for this one, it was like, it was all love. It was a different perspective. It's
Whoa.
Like, it's the growing and updating your operating system, which I think was like what I was getting to before with Irish parents,
mm-hmm.
is that not in my family, let's say this, not genetically across the board Irish people, but in my family, we've maintained the same level of parenting. So it's like, this has worked. We will not deviate
You're
from this.
You're breaking the cycle.
Yeah, but my father is very clearly like treating us as if we're still dependent children on him. And yeah. less to this day, because I just don't even entertain his bullshit.
Yeah.
But more so, like, he just never updated his parenting operating system.
Yeah.
He never saw, like, you're at a different phase in your life. I now have to give you a little bit more leeway and responsibility.
Yeah. When your parents are narcissists, you and your own personal isms and your preferences, they don't exist. It's
right.
just his. It's just what his expectations of you and whether or not you're meeting them.
Yeah.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
He's a big like I want to post this on Facebook so my kids like are doing well, so it looks like I
did a good job.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why even at comedy shows, like, he'd be like,
yo, dude.
Even when it's like trashing him.
Yeah.
He's like, I inspired that.
That joke's funny. That's really
when
funny.
I invited my parents to a comedy show when we sold out the Wilbur Theater because I was like, oh,
that's amazing.
Seats. And her. This is before I put the narcissism clues together, but she was like in the meet and greet, like right behind me. I'm like, can you go? This isn't for you. My God. And then I turn into a fucking toddler and then I act like an idiot and I'm like, oh man, Christina, maybe it'll cool down when I have a kid, but I'm not speaking to her, so it's very helpful.
Yeah. Do you know what also helped me in comedy specifically? My father was an actor and I set out in comedy with like, I'm gonna beat him. Where he
was
got
he
to.
How far did he go?
He was on like Days of Our Lives and
cool.
a couple
like
soap
a
operas.
Player.
And
sure.
yeah, nothing like recurring or anything like that, but it was steady working and seemingly getting into the business. But
I did not, from all the stories I've heard about your dad, I did not picture him as an actor.
Yeah.
Pictured him as like an electrician or something.
Know. Well, because he's from Levittown, Long Island.
Yeah.
He looks like an electrician. Like he's got those Irish,
I
built the Titanic hands.
Yeah.
Like that. All of his brothers look like the exact same thing.
How interesting.
They're monsters. My dad is the smallest and he's like 6'2", 265.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like this 6'1", spindly, 180-pound little gal. All my uncle's like 6'5", 450. Just monster.
Oh, my God.
450. Yeah.
I know. I wish I could get that height and none of the titties, but
yeah,
all
yeah,
that
yeah.
other stuff.
How did he get into acting? Isn't that weird? Yeah.
That's a narcissist. I could see a narcissist. Like, that's like a...
But coming from that family structure, I'm just really surprised because it's such a working class family structure.
Well, so this is what fucks me up. Because very clearly, he's an emotionally sensitive, in touch boy that grew up in an inhospitable environment for those feelings.
Right.
So he had all
someone's
these...
Someone's been in therapy. Yeah, boy. Dude, he's healing me.
He grew up around all these fucking alpha brothers, alpha sisters. And I'm talking like the funniest human being...
Dude, Irish chicks are so alpha. It's amazing.
The funniest human being I've ever met in my life It's all right.
That's your dad calling, actually.
Sorry, Dad.
He got Christina's number to get through to you because he heard us talking.
Time for my monologue. He would listen to my fucking... Anyway.
So the funniest person I've ever met in my life is my Aunt Peggy. And she's been in the...
What a great name.
Yeah.
I've never met a not funny Peggy.
Peggy's like, got dirt underneath her fingernails.
Classic. And she's been... She's like one of those women who have been working in offices since she was 17 years old. Wow. She wanted to get the fuck away from her brothers, away from her family, since the moment she like knew that that was a possibility. So like working in an office, almost like the mother in F is for Family.
Oh, how
she goes in, she's berated by these men and sexualized and harassed. Mm-hmm. And my aunt's like, fuck you, you fucking homo. That kind of, you know, back in the day, that was fashionable.
Yeah.
But she would just come at them super hard and be like, why don't you suck your friend's dick? You know, all that shit. Like, and she is just cutting, super funny. And so all of them, this mash of just Irish personalities, grew up in this Levitt house, which was born for baby boomers and was like, could house four comfortably. Mm-hmm. They had eight children, two adults. Mm-hmm. My grandfather had his own mental illness that I've only found out in my 30s. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, talking to my parents about being depressed. They're like, we've never heard anything about that. That's crazy. Certainly not in your family lineage. And then it comes out my grandfather had like his service revolver in his mouth in front of all eight of his kids and his wife.
My
being like, I'll fucking end it now.
That'll do it.
Whoa.
He's okay.
Oh my God.
Well, no, now he's not. He's dead.
Well, yeah. Well, so he's fine.
Maybe that gun eventually got him.
Yeah. God's gun.
Oh my God. So rewind more so, before the baby, you got married.
Yes.
That also happened since we last spoke to you. I mean, we talked about Nicole, obviously, because you guys have been together on and off since you were 15.
Yeah. 10.
10?
10,
Wait,
yeah.
10.
10. Yeah, but we were hugging back then.
Right.
We would play basketball and then hug at the end. So that was our relationship.
Next door neighbors or just on the same street?
Next door, yeah.
Wait, that's like Dawson and Joey.
Well, they were across the creek, but
we had a stream. We were literally across the stream. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So it is.
And then I had to relive kind of that life during the pandemic. So we moved in with my in-laws for 14 months,
which a large portion
of my special is about. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I do.
That's lucky.
However, sharing space with people that you're not used to sharing space with for well over a year.
Thumbs down.
It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And especially like having a new baby, which
is her dad cool?
My father-in-law, her stepdad, is very cool. I love him very much. He was going through it as well as most of America during the lockdowns and the pandemic, and kind of got latched up to QAnon quite a bit heavy.
And I
was the lucky recipient of his new findings.
He read you all of his articles.
Dude, I have that. What is that? Is that Steven Crowder, that stupid meme who sits at the thing and he's like, tell me your theories or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I have that face. I have the face of that meme which says, tell me your theories. Because whoever believes in flat earth, Sandy Hook was fake, 9/11 had no planes, they see my face and are like, this guy wants to hear it.
You used to have a podcast about conspiracy theories,
but
right?
Not everybody knows that.
Right. I think it's just because you maybe make eye contact.
I think that
is it. It's friendly eye contact.
You can never make eye contact with someone.
Yeah, Corinne taught me that because too many people on the subway was coming up to me.
And I go, you're looking right in their soul. Yeah.
Just trying to give them a friendly glance. But
and my mom really stressed the importance of that. And I don't think she was considering 2022. Like, I don't think she saw the dangers of eye contact further down the road. She was looking at it from her perspective. It's like, that's how people know you're paying attention. You see them. You're connecting soul to soul.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but that's a problem once 100% of the people are mentally ill.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you don't want to egg that on.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah, no, I feel like people can like take things from me when I make eye contact. I make eye contact as little as possible, honestly, to the point where I had a research. I was like, am I on the spectrum? Like, but I was like, no, I'm doing it on purpose. Yeah. You know, there's like a reason for it.
That's like, you're Native American. You won't take a picture of me. You're like, you're stealing a bit of my soul every time we make pupil to pupil contact.
I totally feel that way. I totally feel that way. So how old were you when you proposed to Nicole?
30 or 31. We'll be married in September 10th, 2022. We'll have been married for 6 years. So 2015. So I was 30.
And like, what did, was this like something that you had talked about over the years? Was it just like a given? Like, because some people are together for a long time and like have no interest in getting married.
That was me.
Yeah.
So I'm an anti-marriage guy. I actually don't. I think it's
really worked out for you.
I know. Yeah.
Well, you really stood your ground, huh?
So this is how I view it, because yes, I do feel like I let myself down. But
or you evolved.
Evolved slightly.
No, you're a pussy ass bitch. You're showing up in a Buds of Brooklyn concert.
I'm just a cuck ass.
You fucking cuck.
I'm just a cuck ass buster.
Hey,
I love being
a cuck
small
is fun.
Spoon. I feel safe in my wife's strong
Italian
arms. Dude,
don't trigger me. People love being small spoon with me.
That
I was
is
like,
insane.
I hate it.
Why?
I have a
tiny
energy.
Yeah. But you're so little.
I'm a powerful man.
It's love. It's love pegging. So it's not quite allowing you inside of us, but it is allowing you to keep us safe.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. Keep me safe, bitch.
Well, we'll swap, you know, swap back and forth. But women have the hair. It's just a little bit different, because I do often just wake up with, you know, a sink full of hair in the back of my throat.
Okay.
But I think I may have even talked to it on here, because my whole perspective of it was like the Susan Sarandon, Tim Meadows thing. Like, we'll just be together forever.
It's always good to craft your life after Susan Sarandon and Tim Meadows. Speaking of QAnon or whatever the fuck's going on there.
Oh, no shit, really?
No, she just has interesting political views.
I see.
Also, Tim Robbins.
He's no good.
No, you said Tim Meadows, and I was like,
what a duo, what a couple.
I was gonna say, I was like, I didn't realize
did
they dated, but
is that Undercover Brother, Tim Meadows? That's my uncle's favorite movie. He's a white veterinarian from upstate New York. So weird.
My favorite film is Undercover.
Isn't that weird? So weird. So I Nicole knew that. She knew. She was like totally fine. It had always been a bit more important to her, but I think she was like, she also believed me. We have this history together where I was like, hey, we're staying together. Like, I really have no interest in going outside of this. Like, I'm happy with the support system that we've built. I'm into having kids one day. So, you know, it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It's just more or less my ideas on marriage as an outdated institution.
Right.
And what I saw it do to my parents.
I was going
to
say, if you didn't get a good example of it, why the fuck would you want to venture into it?
Exactly. So then as she would mention it in passing and the light of life would flicker from her eyes, I started recognizing in myself. So it wasn't even a real evolution. It was just kind of like, hey, I'm anti this. But
because
I do want to make this person happy.
Yeah.
This is the one person that I would do this for.
And your belief of anti-marriage sentiment came from you carrying over these negative aspects of your own parents. So it's like, it's unfair for you to let that hinder your life.
Right. And I was looking at it as a generic institution.
Yeah.
Because as a generic institution, it is dog shit. But
yeah.
In terms of me being like, well, this is the one woman that I would break my own rule for, then that's kind of what marriage is.
Yeah, you make your own systems.
Exactly. It's like, this is the one person. This is that. If it doesn't work, great. I will absolutely never do this again.
Yeah.
And not to say I wouldn't fall in love again.
Right.
Who knows? You know, if my wife drops dead tomorrow, ladies, DMs.
Yeah, you're on notice, Nicole. Oh, shit.
But you're never getting the signature. So that was just it, where it was I could break this for this one human being, because she means everything to me, and I want to make her happy, and I also want to make her feel secure in what we had, because as a woman, I understand that, especially with a comedian. We've seen it before. Somebody ascends to a certain level of fame, and then they're like, appreciate the come up support. suck a dick.
Yeah, and then their comedy sucks because they're like, oh man, I got recognized at fucking Starbucks bathroom.
Yeah,
like,
you start talking about how Dwayne Wade spends his money.
Do you know how when you like say a word to a lot of times and then it stops feeling like a word?
Yes.
When you're with one person since you're 10, and I know you did on and off, but still, you have a baby with that person and you see them all the time. Mm-hmm. They would stop, not that they would stop being a person to me, but I would have to like go away for a second and come back to go, oh yeah, you're a human. I would forget it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. how do you stay engaged and in the state of like having respect for your wife? Because it really seems like you guys have a good, solid bond. Yeah. Does that take maintenance?
Oh, of course. It's just the constant communication. That stuff I remember talking about on the last show that I did, because that has never waned, never changed.
Wow.
It's the in real time communication of our issues that have allowed us to stomp out any of the huge, or any of the like, even like the
nothing
little
festers.
Flames that used to turn into a fucking forest fire and would burn an entire mountain down.
Yeah.
And then we could have put it out, you know, way early.
Ago.
And it's like, man, we really fucked up by letting this roll. But as long as we're super, I mean, it is very difficult to do what we both do and be as good involved parents as we are. My wife owns her own business. She is a badass, constantly working, constantly, you know, taking in new inquiries, building up the business, changing it up, doing all this stuff. I'm finally reaching a modicum of success, which is allowing me to tour, sell tickets. I'm away from home more, which was the dream, and now it's the most difficult part of my entire life.
Right.
But, yeah, but I love it. Yeah. I love it, but it still doesn't change the fact that it's incredibly difficult and it takes a physical effort to not just go home. you know what I mean? So having to navigate these, like the Indian Ocean of life, the constant waves and throwing the boat back and forth, and you know, the rogue Malaysian airplane that might come down every now and then.
Your dad calls you. Yep.
It takes a relationship where you're talking constantly and sussing shit out and honestly expressing where you're each at to navigate it, because it's fucking hard.
And triggers make you act, when you're like triggered by a parent's treatment of you or like emotional abuse, it really makes you act fucking immature.
Yeah.
Like you act like such a fucking little bitch brat.
Yeah.
And then when you're aware of it, that makes you spiral, because you're like, why am I I'm better than this. Blah.
Yeah.
So does Nicole, did she have like a good childhood?
No.
Okay, so you both have some sense of understanding.
We have similar shit, which is why, like, I may have talked about this the last time, but we individually did therapy, which I think was huge for us. And then we did like two or three sessions together, which I'm not a big, huge proponent of what is it? Relationship
therapy.
Couples therapy. I think it is what it is, but it's more or less like having a referee.
It's
for
a
your
mediator,
fights.
Yeah.
Which I think was fine in terms of teaching us how to argue and teaching us how to talk to each other.
Well, also, a couples therapist will say themselves 9 times out of 10 people are just going in there to learn how to break up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not really. I would argue it's not like it's not really for functioning couples.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. And if it worked for you, great. Like,
it gives you tools, and then you could ideally take them and use them and go, all right, see ya, thanks.
Yeah, but it's like that thing, it's the Biggie line that I often quote, but he's like, we can't change the world until we change ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, we can't change our relationship and make it effective and healthy unless we actually change ourselves from the inside, because both of us grew up in yelling households, conflict households. People did not know how to resolve shit in a healthy way. So our natural impulse is to fly off the handle. She's like, hey, can you do these dishes? And I'm like, fuck you, mom. I will not be grounded for the next month. Like, it's all this childhood shit and has nothing to do
with the
actual
thing. You're not even reacting to her. You're reacting to some shit that happened decades ago.
Truly. Yeah. Truly. So therapy in that sense was really effective and helpful for us.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So with that constant like communication and Nick, how do you still get horny for each other? I just don't really see it possible.
So you might have to ask her that, because I don't know how she sees me walking around and like get sopping, but I have a pretty hard, I have a pretty great libido, and my wife is smoking hot.
Yeah, you have a hot wife.
She's real hot. And
yeah, but no matter how hot someone is, they're still it's the intense
the
humanness of like them. Like I've just never, you know, like how like, I have a theory that you can never read someone's full Twitter feed and still be attracted to them.
That is very true.
You know? So it's kind of like that. Like, you've read her entire vlog. Like, yeah. How are we still getting horny? And this goes both ways. It's just because I'm talking to you right now.
Because I watched her write the vlog. Oh. So that's it. So
do you think because you've known her so long that feeds into it? Like, if you met someone, sure, 2 years ago? Because so many people are meeting people and shacking up after 2 years of knowing them. Yeah. I go, you're letting a stranger into your home. No wonder the statistics for women getting murdered are so high.
Yeah.
You just let a stranger in your home.
I agree with that. And I think the reason why my wife was my rule breaker is because I've known her since I was a kid. So she knows all my shit.
This really is Dawson and Joey.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Pacey and Joey.
No, but they didn't grow up next to each other. So
I know, but they were successful.
Everyone came into puberty at the same time.
Everyone wants to be Pacey. No one's Pacey. Actually, that's what I wanted to talk about on the show this week. No one's Pacey. You know what? Okay, so we'll talk about it briefly, but I've really been thinking about this very hard. My best friend is TV right now. And because Pacey's primary attribute, which is almost not, like, it's almost never found in straight men, is that he is a good partner and yearns to be a good partner. That's the strongest character trait of Pacey.
Yeah.
And that's why every fucking woman in America got wet for him. Because when have we met a straight, I can think of one guy in my real life who I think is, like, really nails it being a partner. And even he has to fuck other people because he's so good at being a partner that he's in an open marriage.
Right. Yeah, you gotta share that.
And that's not, no one wants that storyline on the CW. Okay, anyway, back to you. But yeah.
Just to add context to, so reading the vlog, that's an element of that person. That is what that person wants you to know about them. What I mean by I watched her write it is that I saw the process of how she came to that perspective.
You saw her
so
growth.
I have a 360 view.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it would be a blog if we're reading it. Sorry, that. I misspoke,
similar.
Yes.
Same shit.
Yes.
I imagine, you know, when you're saying something that you don't actually mean, the other person is going to know what you mean. Like, there's this unspoken twin language that's probably very palpable.
Yeah, not to say that we don't each fuck up and say awful shit to each other every once in a while, especially me, because we are in this world.
Yeah.
And I often forget
she's not a comic,
that people don't exist like this. Like,
I know, we were just talking about that earlier, like, comics, the way comics talk to each other is you know,
I mean, within 3 seconds of meeting somebody, I'm talking about shitting blood and cancer and, like, you know, my dad's whatever. And people are like, all right, this is an atypical social interaction. Uh-huh. But
even when you're in a relationship with a comic, like, as someone who's dated a lot of comics, like, especially, like, I don't know. I guess it's for women too. Like, they want you to turn off. Not that I'm not someone who's trying to be funny all the time. I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
But even just, like, talking in the rough language that comics use around each other, like, you'll go home behind closed doors with a male comedian, and they'll all of a sudden want you, like, in the way you speak, not to be a comedian anymore. And I go,
that's annoying.
You think I don't speak like this?
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, you think this is like a whole performance? I'm like, this is me on the inside. That's why I'm in this career, because I'm like, I am this in my soul.
So much of men is wanting their mommy. Like
thank you for saying that. I know.
It is
honestly
really true.
Yeah.
And I'm not an outlier. Yeah. I'm not an outlier. Like, but that is the small spoon thing where it's like, I don't want my wife to behave like my mother or to even like take care of my shit. But I understand that sense of security. It does go both ways with how women want to feel protected and secure and all that stuff. Men equally want to do that. We probably don't feel as comfortable saying it or admitting it.
Yeah.
But that's certainly something that I've come to terms with, watching my son be mothered and me recognizing some of those traits even in myself as an adult man.
Oh. You're 100% right, obviously. But it's just like, it's just so hard when I see that so clearly to get horny for some. It's like
somebody wants to mother.
Like, I was talking about it in therapy, and my therapist and I both like were like gagged a little bit
over a man.
I mean, you have a perfect
therapist
for you. That sounds like you guys fit.
Yeah. We were trying to discuss it, and we were like and this woman is a mother, and like, she's my age, but she's a mother, she's engaged, like all this kind of stuff. Like,
well, but so the thing that disgusts you though is when a man acts like he wants you to mother him.
Yeah, it is actually physically.
Yeah,
because if they present it in a way that's childish,
it's gross. Fucking your mom. I'm getting physically ill
like
thinking
that
about it. Now that's fucking disgusting.
Nope. No, women don't go
action?
There.
You don't like that?
Nope, nope, nope. No. I try to forget the premise of the title of the video before I watch it, just so I can get that out of my, so I can enjoy.
I didn't even have a stepmom. Fucking. I think that's why I'm like, yeah, let's pretend I did.
I don't mind like, I don't mind like step, like fucking step kids or shit or like yeah, whatever yeah. that was. You know, as long as you're not like actually related, that's fine. Whatever it is. Yeah, and I mean, I love the like that weird like it's not real incest, but like in Cruel Intentions, you know, yeah. like Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe, so like hot. One of the hottest scenes in history.
Yeah, yeah, that's the
but,
best.
But yeah, I just can't get past it.
I think this is also something that happened to me. I gotta stop speaking in general. But so the empathy has grown,
right?
And my understanding of who my wife is has grown, and my appreciation for who she is has also grown under that. So the empathizing with everything that is her yeah. truth, her honesty, her authentic experience,
right?
That to me plays into being turned on now. Like I'm not thinking like you're so fucking hot the way you cry about your yeah. dad. Like that's yeah. not
fucking dirty slut. Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, but all
so
of
it's
that,
so it's a different sexual relationship.
It's a foundation built. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We still like right now we're in like it ebbs and flows. You go through a long enough relationship.
Of course,
you have hot streaks. You have lulls. You have all that stuff. Right now, and for the last like year, I would say we have an incredibly healthy sex life.
Oh, it's nice.
And it's not like two parents like we gotta do this to yeah. maintain our relationship.
Yeah, you
it's
wanna like, fuck.
Take off your clothes. Let's fuck. Like yeah. this is awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
So it's pretty cool.
And going through the childbirth process didn't hinder that at all.
No, and you know, I did not watch him
right.
exit her vagina.
Right.
So I don't right. know if or how that would affect me.
Uh-huh.
But no, again, it's like that's one of those things where I'm like, fucking superhero bitch, dude.
It's
I would
badass.
Not be able to I am a pain pussy. I would not be, well actually clearly not. I'm a pain penis, but I would not be able to withstand that, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that makes me hard.
How old's your kid?
He's gonna turn 3 in July.
Three. No, so I read about little boy, and this has happened before. I've heard like people have written to us about it, but like sometimes like little kids get boners, like little boys get boners.
Yeah, yeah. He wakes up with one.
That's
yeah.
so
good,
interesting.
Good for you, fella. Yeah, yeah. It's
really
hard for him to piss right in the morning. He's like, Dad, what's going on?
I'm wow.
like, just push harder.
Wow. And do you have like how do you talk? I'm always curious how a parent, like especially how a modern parent approaches body parts with kids.
Yeah,
because I mean, do you say penis? Do
oh
you
yeah.
Say,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You say cock. What if he was like, I say cock?
Yeah, yeah. That's a cock.
My veiny cock is really
look at
hard.
That.
This
I can't
morning,
even
Dad.
In good faith call that a penis. That is a cock.
Can we watch Paw Patrol?
he was
gotta get his cock down.
Now we're a Cars household. We
okay.
Yeah, we were into Cocoa Melon, which I believe is some sort of methamphetamine for children.
Dude, I watched Cocoa Melon at my
What's
best
that?
Friend's house, and I was like, are we joining a cult?
Yeah. Yeah, it's mine. It's like Chinese mind control or something. For sure.
What
because
is Cocoa
my
Melon?
Kid is just like locked in, stroking his heart crack.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, this is, first of all, they make the dad into the biggest cuck bitch of all time. He's like, oh, and just such a, just a khaki short wearing loser. And the mom is just like, look at me, mush it, pussy. And like, you know, yeah. all that stuff. And so that infuriates me. But the whole thing, and yeah, it's intense how locked in my son is to
wow.
that.
Yeah,
that
I was like scared watching my best friend's son watch Cocoa Melon.
Whoa,
I go,
I gotta see this Cocoa Melon.
I was like,
Melon.
Paula, do you see what's going on here? Is this okay?
Wow.
I'm glad other people are seeing it too, because I was like,
yes, yeah, a very strong reaction from the show.
Melon.
I'm gonna
for
look
real.
It up later.
I mean, like, not only are they huge on Netflix, but their YouTube channel has yeah. like, I think it's one of the most popular YouTube channels in
they
the
are,
world.
It's mind control.
Hundreds of millions of things, and yeah. they just put it on for yeah. their kids.
Oh
and that's
God.
Why there was like that whole thing about YouTube kids. Uh-huh. Like in between Cocoa Melon videos, there'd be like some creep in a Spider-Man costume smearing toothpaste on a kid's face. And like, they're like, oh
no,
how did
bad
that
touch.
Get in there? Yeah, it's super weird.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
All that to say, my son doesn't have his own iPad yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's got to be such a challenge, because you got to have your own time. And I imagine your sanity gets compromised often.
For sure. Yeah. But again,
you ever get sick of your kid?
Yeah, but I have the road. Like,
oh, that's nice.
I have the road, and then I feel bad.
Yeah. I was like, does Nicole get pissed?
No, because she, so we, it's a constant juggling. Like, I'm trying to explain to my son, because he is, he's starting to be affected by the absence, or at least notice it.
Yeah.
And so he'll be like, oh, you're going to Virginia this weekend. Like, he'll just know where I'm headed, and then we'll FaceTime and stuff. And then I get back and he gives me like the kind of like, fuck you for a few minutes. And then he'll be super involved. And he's like, yeah, I'm expecting like Soldier comes home to his collie every Sunday. And he's like, beat it, pussy. Yeah. I hate you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But I'm trying to like explain to him that, hey, man, like, I know it's very difficult. It's difficult for me as well.
Aww.
But I do have 3 to 4 uninterrupted days with you per week, which is way more than most parents.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of my friends who are parents, they have like, you know, 7 to 7. They're out of the house. They're in an office or they're working. They're unavailable. Sure. They get back. They kiss their kid goodnight and that's it.
Yeah, it's like
that's really tough. And they still are in close proximity to them. So it feels like they're able to see them more. But I'm able to see my son seemingly more. And similar with my wife. We have switch on and off days where it's like I'm not around. She's around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so far it's worked. But, you know, it is hectic.
He's a little young. But do you ever have also like with the absence, like conversations about like what daddy's like following his dreams?
Yeah. Okay. So I've talked to my son like an adult since he was born. Like I've had these levels of conversations.
Yeah, that's good.
To the point where it's foreign to both my family, my wife's Italian family. They're like, he doesn't know what you're saying.
No, my mom and dad always spoke to us as full adults. Like we even have like recordings. Like my parents would like interview us. No wonder I'm into podcasting.
That's really cute.
That's great.
But that was like one of the main things. Like Justin Silver even told me to talk in full adult sentences to my dog.
Yeah.
That's how important I think it is.
Yeah. And my son, like, he is crazy intuitive. His vocabulary is insane.
Yeah.
He speaks. He's been speaking for a really long time to the point where his like teachers are blown away. Like, you know, it's like he's very.
I'm sure it's because you probably a lot of it's because you talk to him like he's a smart person.
And we read to him a lot. Yes. Like it's all about that. But I have conversations that I know for a fact he does not know or understand yet. But it's similar to that where I'm like, dude, you have two badass parents.
Mm-hmm.
One owns their own company. Both of them are going after their dream, and we are successfully doing it while also maintaining our relationship with you.
Isn't it wild the difference between your dad's parenting and your parenting? Like one generation of family is so drastically different that I'm like, what are our kids going to be like as parents? Like,
who knows? The pendulum could swing.
It could.
My son might see what I do
and be like, fuck this shit.
That is unstable.
I'm making my son work.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna be an accountant. Like, I need something that's super regimented because I just see how it affects my dad. And like, you know, and that's not necessarily the life for me.
And
I would completely understand that.
Sure.
But, you know, my dad like blamed us for why he didn't make it as an actor. Like,
Dad.
That was my major reluctance to have a kid.
And then because, so you did, you're like, that's not that hard.
Yeah. I was like,
kind of
dad,
I don't know what you're talking
dad,
about.
Dad, you really could have done this. Yeah. Like, you had very
truly
little
not
work
that difficult.
Ethic.
Maybe it's you.
But that was my reluctance, was I was like, I kept waiting to get to a place where I felt more solidified and in control of my career. And then oopsie poopsie, it happened anyway.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that, listen, you either quit because it's too scary, or you buckle the fuck down and you make everything happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's luckily enough for me, my reaction to it, where, you know, I remember hearing stuff from Louis, which not sure what your current feelings are on the guy, but back then everybody was listening to him.
Yeah.
And especially about parenting.
Oh, yeah. He talked a lot about his two daughters.
Yeah. And he had some really great insight into that stuff and how to like maintain focus and be transparent with them and allow them to know what he was doing and what he was going after and how they had this different kind of relationship where we're with each other for this long and not with each other for this long.
Mm-hmm.
Radical honesty is kind of what it is. I'm trying to do that now. Like just being honest, like not saying you like when you don't actually like something, just saying you don't like something. Like, what the fuck?
Well, here's what I've gathered from that, because I'm also trying to do that more socially.
Yeah.
Because people, especially now post-pandemic, feel very comfortable with forcing you to hold their mental illness. Like,
that's
they'll
so
just
true, Mike.
Hand you a duffel bag of their problems
so
and
bad.
Be like, you deal with it.
Yeah, because they can't deal with themselves.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, well, then I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about all your
might
fucking problems if you feel comfortable dumping them on my lap.
Yeah.
Right. So, right. We're going to change that right round.
It's so bad. Yeah.
So you have a special out.
I do. Right? Yeah. It's coming out. I'm not sure coming when this out. Is dropping, but May 18th.
We're dropping it on May 20th.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much. So out right now, which I've watched yours and it's fantastic. Great work. Seriously.
Thank you.
It looks great. Everything about it was so good.
What's the theme?
YouTube, babe.
Nice.
YouTube.com/Mike Cannon Comedy. It's called White Privilege Homeless. One, because that was a bit, and that's also what I was for 14 months. I was homeless, living at my in-laws, white privilege, living at my in-laws, their giant mansion in the suburbs, I could find, you know, plenty of time to bitch and moan about. But a lot of it is about that. No pandemic jokes in the sense of like mask, vaccine, any of that.
Yeah, right. Good.
All about how it affected us as a family and what we went through and my personal revelations on fatherhood, marriage, shit like that. So it's my favorite thing that I've ever done. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I've heard such good things about it from people who were there. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love watching people's specials, especially people that I've known for years. It's so exciting.
Especially when they self-produce it, because it's like, man, that's your fucking image that you saw through.
Guys, White Privilege Homeless on YouTube, May 18th. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Eyes closed, ready to serve your God. Meanwhile, my hand cold by the distance between us.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
From original art and diplomas to ticket stubs and the keys to your first home, we all have mementos we'd love to put on display. Framebridge is the easy and affordable way to custom frame just about anything, with fair upfront pricing based on the size of your item and fast, free shipping. Plus, your happiness is guaranteed. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started. That's framebridge.com.